What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
It's Mike Shope.
This guy's a real jerk.
And the Bulldog.
I'm sort of anal retentive, OCD kind of whack job.
On WGR.
Happy Valentine's Day. Mike Shope and the Bulldog here. We have been around and about today. Sam Panayotovich likes Michigan State tomorrow on the road at Illinois. It's bounce-around season.
And Alabama. Against number one in the country, Auburn.
Nate Oates in Alabama. Talk to Paul about the Four Nations face-off and the Sabres a little bit. We'll have Dave Buchanan later this hour on the Bandits and the Daytona 500. Guy knows a lot about both. And who knows what else? 803-0550 to join us. Talked about James Cook a lot this week. He seems to want $15 million. If he doesn't, it's a weird way of acting.
Yes, right.
Repeatedly tweeting about $15 million.
Maybe he only really wants 12 and a half. This is 15 is like the starting point, and 12 and a half is a fallback.
That's how you do it.
Yep.
Always go a little above. The only thing that can go wrong there is if the person says, forget it. Fantasy trades. Huh. This is not me. This is a lot of other people. I will make you this offer, which is you're not going to take it because it's crazy to take it, but you'll come back at me with a different offer that I will probably accept.
Right.
And I refuse. Usually.
I'm going to hang up the phone. Just, right.
No. This is an insult. And sometimes people will tell you, will come back at you like, why didn't you counter? Because I got a vibe that there was no way
this wasn't realistic.
You were ever
going to
do anything here. That's just right. So far out there. I'm not much of a counterer myself. Kevin is with us. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Happy Friday. I'm going to make a couple points, and I'm going to hang up and listen to you guys. One on the James Cook thing, $15 million. Love the guy. Great player. Saquon Barkley makes 12.5. The Bills are never noted for paying running backs. I bring in Raheem Mostert. You can get him way cheaper. And one of the knocks on the Bills' offense this year was lack of speed. And Mostert's got the wheels that'll blow the doors off you. And my other thing is I might mispronounce the guy's name, but the senior defensive coordinator we just hired, is it Ryan Nielsen? I'm wondering if there's any ties to Andre Sisco possibly coming here as a safety who was a young kid still at 24, third-round pick. And it would really bolster our safety room. And I'll hang up and listen to you guys. Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
All right. You too. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. We talked about Mostert at the end of last hour, and I would sooner draft a guy on Saturday to replace James Cook than I would sign Raheem Mostert to replace James Cook myself. I'm not saying that's the best idea or the best way to replace James Cook if I were to replace him. I don't think you got to worry about replacing him.
No.
I mean, he's under contract. The Bills have, they do have tools at their disposal. We'll see how they want to position themselves within that here. First of all, he has a contract. Second of all, the franchise tag is out there. Like, if you want to pay a little less than 15 for 1 year, next year you can do that. I mean, it's a path you go down at your own peril, because it does sort of can poison the well, so to speak, not just with the player who's getting the tag put on him, but teammates, future teammates, like whatever. Just how you do business matters, and taking care of your guys who have produced for you and worked for you is important. So I think, you know, that any franchise tag talk feels like the nuclear option. But the fact that Cook went to the nuclear option already, to me, which is what you do when you publicly say what you want before, at least to our knowledge, the negotiating time has even started, you know, maybe in kind the Bills will feel compelled to use what they have at their disposal. But I'll expect them to be more careful than that. I'm just saying, they've got options.
You're saying James Cook is threatening to raise tariffs substantially?
I guess, perhaps.
And the other party went, what?
Yeah.
Did we have a problem?
Yeah. If I hear his national anthem, I'm going to boo it, Cook, just so you know.
That's what he's asking for.
That's one way to hit back.
That's what he's asking for.
It's the only power I have.
Yeah, I don't think I don't know. We're not really seriously talking about replacing James Cook with anybody. Somebody called in about trading him. I mean, it's almost like it's automatic with some fans when a player asks for money.
Yeah.
Okay, well, bye. It's so early that I don't think we're really facing that. And you could also get me to say, so what if we do? Or so what if we are?
Yeah.
But really, like, well, I doubt very much that we're in a crisis here with him.
Yeah. We could be, though. And I think the reason, I don't know, like, I agree 100% that there's a certain element of any fan base that the minute one of the guys makes any noise, right, just steps out of line in any way, and that's some version of what this is, right? He's raising his hand saying, I want more. And, you know, some fans just want guys to just keep their heads down and honor the contracts they signed and go play football, and, you know, that. Okay, you're entitled to that. So as soon as someone does that, it's get them out of here. I don't need it. Get them out of here. And I don't really respect that, but it happens. The thing about Cook, the idea of raising the idea of trading him being raised. We're talking about Myles Garrett all the time. Is there a way that I can find? Like, I want to trade Gregory Rousseau, who's due a new contract. As urgently, if not more urgently, than James Cook is. He's going into the walk year, his fifth year option. It's a big, big cap number. If you don't redo it, you can lessen it by extending him at this point, even though you'll be paying more in the long run. That's how that works. But I'm over here going, can I get Myles Garrett? Can I include Greg Rousseau in there instead of a second round pick? Or instead of next year's one or something? James Cook is the same thing. To me, he seems like, and Greg Rousseau has not said a word about being, you know, what he wants or what he should expect or anything.
Not to me.
Right. So Cook has, and I don't know, Nick Chubb is damaged, right? Is he even going to continue playing at this point? He's a free agent, right?
Yes.
So, okay, Browns. you want a guy who scored 17 rushing touchdowns as part of a trade package for Myles Garrett? I'm listening. Like, that's the only way I justify it. And you could have gotten there without James Cook going on, you know, an emoji-a-thon at all. You could have just looked at the Bills roster and said, like, who's of value? Who's potentially going to be warranting getting paid more than maybe I or the team, more importantly, would be comfortable paying? A running back who just had a career season and is looking for a new contract? Okay. Would the Browns take that instead of some asset I have to give up? And I'll replace my running back. Like, to me, it's a little different than just chase him out of town because he rattled. He made noise about a contract. Again, that's not to say the motivation is what mine is, but I would consider trading James Cook if it could get me Myles Garrett.
I would do a lot of things. It's just, to me, not realistic from the other side. But the Browns, you know what I'm going to say. The Browns should not want any of this. Like they should not want Greg Rousseau. They should not want James Cook. They should not want any player whose rookie deal years are up. And they immediately sign themselves up for pressure to sign a guy to probably more than he's even worth because they've made this trade. Mm-hmm. They've identified him as an important piece. So when you do that, you're like almost obligated to like the biggest possible deal. The player has all the leverage. All of that sounds terrible to me for the Browns. If, and it won't happen anytime soon if it ever does, the Bills got to a point, it would have to be like in August or something, where they just believed that Cook was not going to listen to them anymore, that he wanted out, you know, that was just, it was just going to be over. Then you're the Browns with Garrett right now, which is like, well, what's the best we can do?
Right.
And there would be teams that would maybe give you like a, he went for a second round pick. He's had a good few years. He's not worth more than that.
No, definitely not.
Like he's 3 years in. Like he's not worth more than that. So you're looking at a third or a fourth round pick if it ever comes to that. And then you go, well, why even bother? Just sort of force him to come back here, I guess. That's just so far away and I think remote that I'm not even really worried about it. But $15 million is a no. That I know. The Browns should want three good to great draft picks. And I still think they could get it for this player. The teams that we're talking about every day for him, or not just us, including the Bills, are the teams who draft at the end of the draft this year, like the Bills, the Eagles, Washington.
Contending teams, right.
Yeah, like they don't have a top 10 pick to offer the Browns. So the Browns should, because they're going to lose anyway this year, don't worry about this year. Go get, I mean, next year's picks are always worth, they're always cheaper for a few reasons. Teams are not as like into them. You're not, you don't want to, no GM wants to trade his first round pick this year right now. Like this is what we're working on. This is what, I'm going to go to the press conference and hold up a jersey with the guy. Like this is our moment. You don't want to, you know, squander that exactly, unless you feel like you really, really should or really have to. So the Browns should be able to get 26s, 3-4 picks from somebody, 26, 27, if you can trade 27s in the NFL. The NBA, you can trade 6-7 years out. So I would think, yes, that's what the Browns should do. And then with that, you could even get lucky in the sense that the team you're trading with ends up losing, you know, like San Francisco this year, somebody that nobody would think would ever be bad, and then they're drafting, you know, 11th. Look at this. And so that's, I think, what they should do, not players. But we'll see. What is the Bills' single most important roster decision right now? It's not Cook.
No, I don't think it is.
This is a close one. What is the most important, number one most important decision they're facing?
I think it's corner opposite Benford. I think as much as, like that because that is if Douglas is here, it's a concern because I think he dropped off this year. I don't think it was what it was when he first got here. When he first got here, and you know, four picks and whatever, how many games he played, and it's like, oh well, he was hurt for the playoff game. He'll be back, and that's an extension candidate. Right, we talked like that last offseason, off the year he'd had when he got here, and for me that is almost completely evaporated. I'm not eager, almost, I don't want to say at any price, but I want to try to get better there. Every place else, even if I can't get Myles Garrett, sure I need to find more pass rush, and I need to identify and acquire some stout. Something big to maybe replace Daquan Jones in the middle of the defensive line and fortify that. But like I've got guys right now that are under contract that can do those jobs. If I don't have Rasul Douglas, we're right where the Bills were before they drafted Elam and Benford. That and in that case, it was Trey White coming back from injury. But we didn't know. Like, do we have a guy there? they don't have a guy in that spot, right? They've got safeties under contract. They've got linebackers under contract. And they have defensive tackles under contract and edge guys. Again, I want to get better at all those spots. That's why we're talking about Myles Garrett all the time. I think corner is, as we talk it through and go through this process in the late winter and into the spring, I feel like that is going to present itself as a real issue. They don't have an answer there right now. I don't think they have an answer on the roster. It damn sure better not be. I better not at any point during OTAs or into the summer be credibly hearing that they think Elam can do it. Or so. I mean, I just cannot imagine a scenario where they land there.
Well, you might hear that.
Okay, I hope it is just BS if I hear it, because I can't imagine that that's a solution. So they got to find somebody, whether that's in the draft or not a top of market free agent, because Benford is going to get that kind of money when he gets his contract extension, ideally this offseason sometime. So I got to find, you know, something in the $5 to $8 million range at corner opposite him. And that is a starting spot on the team that I don't see an answer for on the roster right now. So I think that almost by default becomes the most urgent situation I have.
I like it.
Because it's obviously it's a position that really matters. Finding someone who has the versatility to play some different styles, because I'm not even sure how much Benford has been asked to play man and how suitable he is as a candidate to do it. So I need to find someone, and I think Douglas is definitely not, at this stage of his career, if he ever was, a candidate to do that. His foot speed to me is just diminished enough that I'd be really worried about him doing that. So that's that.
Well, as a Packer, he was a playmaker. And then the Bills got him. He came here and he was still a playmaker.
Right.
And this year he didn't make one play.
No.
Like, he didn't have one interception all season. Just kind of like was forgettable this year, Douglas. Yeah. So yeah, I don't know. Maybe they think there are good reasons for that, but given the season and his age, he'll be 30 before the season kicks off. I might think that they're done. They've got big money to spend on other guys who are on the roster already, and they're going to have to be judicious with positions like that. The draft can be your fallback. Maybe at 30, you can draft a starter, or even in round two, and that happens. It's tough. It's a tough bet to make.
Yeah, it is.
But what's a better idea? You know, it's like it's a version of the wide receiver thing. At least at receiver, they've got other guys already, and there might not be as much at stake there.
Okay, so here's what you want to do. Hear me out. All right. Rousseau, Cook.
Okay. All right.
Need some picks. Have all the any pick you want this year, next year. Hey, Cleveland, you got this Garrett problem. Did Denzel Ward say he wants out of there if Garrett's not there? Hey, right. Okay, let's turn this into like a, you know, the Pierre Turgeon Pat LaFontaine trade. All right, let's just get that, as many assets, actual NFL players currently into the car, into the clown car as we can, and like, let's swap.
It sounds like it's realistic as long as you include Allen and Watson.
Yeah, good.
Then maybe we have a Freudian slip. Then maybe we have an even trade.
All right, I'd have to get back to you on that. I'd have to sleep on that.
The rights to Trubisky. The rights to. We haven't talked about Travis Kelce's future at all. More growing speculation that he's retiring.
Yeah. I sort of feel like at this point it would be surprising if he didn't. Right?
I think I'd bet that he does too.
Yeah.
His brother, I mean, everybody knows with the Kelces, the podcast is massively lucrative. Taylor Swift, what's left to accomplish? They've won 3 times. I mean, just everything sort of leans one way. And also that Jason Kelce seemed to have had his mind up a year ago after they lost that playoff game to the Bucks. Like, he's crying on the bench, like that this is it. And then time went by. Maybe it wasn't it. Like, maybe he was reconsidering whatever. But then he did retire. And I don't know. Like, that was his process, I guess. Time to reflect. Then, okay, yeah, this is really what I need to do. Different guy.
Yeah.
This is the, you know, who knows? You have to know the guy to really have an educated guess. But the way he was talking on his podcast this week. Just very, sounded really sad. Like,
yeah,
maybe that's it for Kelce. I know I've been drafting Noah Gray, who might not be good, and he might not even be there. But he is there now, and he had his moments. He had two touchdowns in the first Bills game.
And there will be a void there, obviously, if Kelce steps aside.
Huge.
Yeah.
We've got Dave Buchanan coming up. So the Bandits play tonight against the Rock in Mississauga. That's the Toronto Rock, where they play their home games closer to us. And because they love us. They want to make it easier for us to make the drive.
I bet plenty of Bandits fans will make that trip.
And they play tomorrow, too?
They play at home tomorrow, yeah. I've got the schedule up, but I don't have it. Give me a second here, and I will tell you who they play tomorrow. They play tomorrow San Diego at home, 7:30 at the arena.
Throw out the record books. That's good. And then there's also the Daytona 500 we'll talk about with Dave, who was our racing voice for many years here at the station.
And still is a prominent track announcer in the area in racing season. Mm-hmm. So, yep.
That's coming up. It is Valentine's Day. It is not World Radio Day. Yesterday was, and there's only one World Radio Day. They would never have two in a row.
I feel so sad that I didn't go out for my free drink.
Is there any place that would have honored that? Well, it is World Radio Day, so anybody in radio, come on over. Two for one.
I'm going to walk into my joint after I get off tonight. You know, yesterday was World Radio Day.
Yeah, and it was snowing.
They take great care of me there anyway, so it's like I need to complain.
Where's my chip? We'll talk to Dave after sports. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Tehoka Nanico, far side, over to a Deakin. Running, striving, score!
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all. In really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
John Gertler and the Bandits. We have Dave Buchanan coming up shortly. We don't have him yet, or we do? We do not.
Dave?
He tweeted about it.
5:30.
Where is he? I put him on the board and everything. I should take a picture and send it to Dave.
He knows.
I felt so good having the writing that up there the other day when we set it up, just because his name was on the board for years because he hosted the racing show in season. In fact, that would have, I think, started this Sunday back in the days when we carried Fast Track.
Fast
was
Track.
The name of that show.
Kickstands Up was so not Dave, the racing show.
Dave had his name on the board for a long time, but it was back up there in all its glory today.
There he is. Dave, how you been?
Mike, BD, good to talk to you guys again. How are you?
Pretty good.
You are the only person I know, I really think, that calls me BD, and I love it.
You got to love it.
I wouldn't have remembered it until you just said it, and I love how it sounds, Dave. Nice to talk to you, buddy.
Good to catch up with you guys.
Let's start with lacrosse. The Bandits are in Mississauga tonight to play Toronto, because that's how that goes. Two-time defending champions and undefeated. Is it as good as it sounds for them right now? Is it maybe, is that pretty much tell the story?
It does, Mike. They're the same team that hoisted the cup last May. You know, they didn't lose too many pieces, and they've come out in full force. Granted, they've only played 6 games this year, while most of the league has, you know, played 8 or 10. And this is where things get interesting. The Bandits tonight start on a string of 10 weeks of games, and they're going to play 12 games in those 10 weeks. So the test starts this weekend with back-to-back matchups. So we'll see. But so far, so good. And during the first third of the season, they have lived up to the hype on offense, defense, and goaltending.
I was looking at the standings, and through just 6 games here, 6-0 record, like we've already said, their goal differential is, like, I think plus 39 is what I saw, which is a pretty hearty average. I mean, I suppose you can tell us that could skew just from a couple of blowouts, but still, like, in that sport, like, that feels like a pretty significant winning margin.
Yeah, especially in their first 3 games of the season. They really beat up on their opponents during the first 3 games. The second 3 games they've played have been a little bit closer, but still, you know, they've piled up 18, 19, 16 goals this season. The offense is clicking. I mean, Dane Smith is averaging 10, 11 points a game. Josh Byrne is averaging almost 10 points a game. They're just right now on a phenomenal pace, and I hope they can keep it up here over this next stretch.
How common is it for year over year for a team like in that league to keep the band relatively together, like you led off with here, that they're pretty much the same team as they were last year that won the championship?
Well, this year the Bandits are trying to become the first team to three-peat in the National Lacrosse League in a decade, a little more than a decade. The Rochester Nighthawks, the original Rochester franchise that Mike worked with back in the day, they went 3 in a row. I believe it was 2012 to 2014. I might be off on a year or two on that. So no other one other team has had that opportunity. Saskatchewan had an opportunity to do the same thing. So I mean, it's not totally uncommon. But the even going back further for the Bandits, they've won the last 3 championships. On top of that, they've been to the finals, you know, the last, 4 or 5 seasons. Overall, they had the loss against Calgary in 2019, and there was the pandemic break. and then the loss to Colorado, and then the two straight finals. So they've been to the championship mm-hmm. four seasons in a row, and then a couple seasons before that too. So they've built such a strong franchise here over the last 7-8 seasons.
Going for an unprecedented third straight title, so do they also get all the calls, the Bandits, Dave? Like, do people complain about
are they the Chiefs?
The refs favor the Bandits?
The NLL.
Well,
if you've watched the last couple of games, I don't think you'd agree with that. And I think if you ask John Tavares, that he definitely would not agree with that. There's been some rough nights from the refs this season.
It was only in the playoffs, though, and they're at home, so that's really where you need it, and that's where you get it. What is, generally speaking, and maybe Smith and Byrne have reasons to be exceptions to this, what is the age cliff in this sport? So you've got two guys here who play, I mean, Dave, right? They kind of play year-round. I've seen them in the outdoor league. I don't know if Smith still does or what where that stands. But here's Smith at 32 and Josh Byrne at 30. And fans who follow the Bandits are used to these names for years. I mean, they have been dominant forces on this team for years now. How much longer?
Well, if they're like their head coach, John Tavares, they can play well into their 40s. And even their goaltender, Matt Vince, who's, he's 3 months older than I am at 42. He was born in June of 82. I'm September of 82. I mean, so it's not unheard of for these guys to play into their 40s. Now, if they want to do that, that's up to them. They have played a lot of lacrosse in the past 2-3 years. Mike, you mentioned it with their outdoor stuff. You know, this past summer, Dane skipped the outdoor league, but he went right to playing indoors up in Ontario for the Six Nations Chiefs, won the Man Cup as the world champion. You know, so the Bandits finish in May. He goes to play for Six Nations from June to early September. And then late September, he reported to Team Canada for the World Indoor Championships, along with Josh Byrne and Steve Priolo. So Dane and Josh especially, they've played a lot across the last couple of years. So does maybe that shorten the back end of their career? I don't know. But really, they could go as long as they want, as we've seen with some other players in the league.
What are we in for this weekend? Like, how you mentioned the back-to-backs, and they've had a lighter schedule relative to the league to this point, Dave. How challenging is the back-to-back, first of all? And then what about these opponents, Toronto tonight in Mississauga, and then San Diego at KeyBank Center tomorrow?
Well, obviously, the lucky thing for this Bandits back-to-back is there's not a whole lot of travel involved, right? You know, Mike mentioned they're in Mississauga tonight. I can't remember. I don't think the team's staying over in Mississauga tonight. I think they're all driving back tonight so they can be at the arena first thing tomorrow morning for practice. So, you know, no plane flights. Yeah, a little bit of a drive, but it's not like when we drove home after game one of the finals against Albany for 4 hours and they got in at 3 a.m. and then had to be and we're back on the floor 6 hours later during the finals. So you got that. But you're going against two really good teams, despite what their records are. I mean, Toronto and San Diego, they've underperformed this year, but they've got a whole lot of talent. Plus, Toronto, the first time Buffalo played them, they didn't have Tom Schreiber. They didn't have their faceoff specialist, T.D. Erlin. They didn't have Latrell Harris. So this will be a much improved Toronto roster. But, of course, Buffalo's had the Rock number, especially since play resumed after the pandemic. They've been undefeated in, like, their last 10, 12 meetings against Toronto. So it'll be a good. This is the best rivalry in all of the NLL. There's gonna, probably be some scraps. We saw the big fight with Zach Belter and Elijah Gash here in Buffalo, and I'm sure there'll be round two with either them or guys like Nick Weiss and Billy Hosetrouser. It'll be a very spirited affair coming up at 7 o'clock tonight in Mississauga, and then you take on a San Diego team tomorrow who's in town. I talked to their coach earlier this week. He asked me where they could go to watch the game tonight, so they're here in town looking for a place to watch the game. They've got a load of talent. They just beat Toronto last week with a great last-minute come-from-behind win on goals from two of their best players, Rob Hellier and Wes Berg. You know, they've got Ryan Benesch, who's 40 years old, by the way, used to play for the Bandits. They've got a really good offense, good, strong, young defense, and a good young goaltender, Chris Riglieri. So these would be two tough tests for the Bandits. But really, I think the only thing that can beat the Bandits right now is themselves. And they've found themselves in penalty trouble at times this year. So I think they need to improve with their special teams, not only shorthanded, but they need to score a few more power play goals, in my opinion, as well, too. So I think that's going to be the biggest thing, especially tonight against Toronto, because of the the rivalry of that matchup. Buffalo can get hot-headed and maybe take a few extra penalties because of it. So they need to just to stay out of the box this weekend, and I think you know, it's not a stretch for them to come away from this weekend 2-0.
Forgive me if I should know this. How well does the Bandits fan base travel? Like, will there be would tickets be available? Like, will there be a significant crowd of Bandits fans making this trip to Mississauga tonight?
Oh yeah, definitely. You'll see plenty of orange if you watch the broadcast on CW23, ESPN Plus, or even if you listen to John Gertler tonight, hearing it on the radio. There'll definitely be plenty of Bandit fans in the crowd. They do travel very well. I mean, the game against Rochester earlier this year, I think the building was 50-50. There are some real diehards that mm-hmm. literally will go everywhere. They'll go to Calgary. They'll go to Saskatchewan. They'll go to Colorado. So, yeah, there'll be quite a few Bandit fans in Mississauga tonight.
You said Schreiber is in for Toronto, so his PLL team – Utah is one of the teams competing, and they call it the Sixes, which is an indoor mm-hmm. tournament outside of the it's cool outside of the PLL season. He's one of the best in the league for many years. And mm-hmm. Connor Fields, I think, is also on Utah. I get mixed up. My son knows, but
you're right. And so is Bandit's defenseman Cam Wires. He's also on that Archers team.
Okay,
that's won the last two PLL titles.
Fields from Tymon, and so but. But Schreiber is not there. A lot of those guys, like, that play both are not at the Sixes because it's sort of separate from the regular mm-hmm. season. So that's interesting. Okay.
All right, Dave, how about Sunday afternoon? I mean, it's a little alarming to learn today that they moved the race up only an hour because of weather. What happened to the good old 12:30 start times? I remember, like, when I started making fried bologna sandwiches every year for the Daytona 500, it was lunchtime, and it's turned into dinner over the years because the race starts later and later in the afternoon. Are you optimistic they'll get this race in on Sunday?
To be honest, Bulldog, I haven't looked at the weather forecast, so I couldn't tell you what the chances are on getting all 180 laps in on Sunday. So I'm hopeful that they will. And luckily, with the drying equipment that they have now and the fact that they have these tires that they can run not in the rain but a damper racing mm-hmm. surface, you know, that improves their chances. Plus, of course, Daytona has lights, so they can go late into the evening if they have to. So I think they'll get it in Sunday, unless there's like 100% chance of rain all day that I haven't seen in the forecast. For now, I'm pretty positive they'll get it in on Sunday.
Okay, as far as storylines go, I've buzzed a few different websites and I'm looking for stuff, and it seems like a lot of it is turn back the clock type stuff for me. I've got Helio Castroneves showing up, right? Jimmy Johnson and Martin Truex Jr. I thought Jimmy Johnson retired like 10 years ago. What's going on?
Yeah, Jimmy did retire from full-time competition. He now is the main owner of the team that used to be Richard Petty Enterprises. It's now called Legacy Motor Club, and actually Richard Petty just sold his share of the club, so Jimmy Johnson's the main team owner for this Legacy Motor Club, so he'll drive a car for that team in the race on Sunday. One of the handful of starts he still does now and then. Same with Martin Truex. You know, this is just a one-off deal for Tricon Garage in the 56, just because he likes running at Daytona. And Helio Castroneves, that's a new deal. He's driving for Team Trackhouse Racing, and he crashed out of the qualifying race last night. But because of this new provisional NASCAR has added, he'll still get to race on Sunday. The funny thing is, Helio is also running Saturday afternoon in the ARCA Series race that you can watch on FS1, and he is going to start in the same row as Andy Jankowiak from Tonawanda in that ARCA race on Saturday. So you've got a four-time Indy 500 winner, and you've got a guy that delivers pizza for Bob and John's on Hurdle Avenue starting in the same row in the ARCA race tomorrow.
Wow. We should have led with that. Do you have a pick to win?
I can never look past the defending champ, Joey Logano, the defending champ of the Cup Series, that is. Mm-hmm. Joey does so well, but I saw Bubba Wallace drove a heck of a qualifying race last night, so he'll be one to watch, and William Byron won this race last year. I think I saw Bubba was like plus 2,600, by the way, so if you're in mm-hmm. on that.
All right.
And William Byron's plus 1,700, so I mean, there's some. Those are three guys I would be looking at for Sunday. Those are probably three of my favorites. for the race. And Denny Hamlin as well. Denny's won this race three times. Still looking for a first series championship, but has won the Daytona 500 before.
Dave, I assume you're on the broadcast tonight?
No, John Gertler is solo tonight in Toronto, but we will be at the KeyBank Center tomorrow night. John and Steve Berman will be up in the press box, and I'll be between the benches tomorrow night against San Diego.
Okay, sorry about that. Look forward to 7:30 tomorrow night here on WGR. Thanks, Dave.
Great to talk to you guys, as always. Have a good one.
You too. Likewise. Always been a guy, like, you feel like you could ask him anything, and he would know it. He's going to know it.
Yep.
Except the forecast. You can't blame that. I mean, that's weather. How's he supposed to know that?
I guess not.
He's just going to know it.
No. Yep.
The Sixes are fun. So it's, again, like, there's the box season, and that's Buffalo. They take the top four teams from the PLL, and I'm sure they get rewarded, the players, the teams. They throw them in an indoor tournament outside of Washington. My son and I went 2 years ago to the whole thing, every game of the tournament. And now new this year is a women's league. So ESPN, ESPN Plus. ESPN Plus also has the Bandits game and TSN as well. So lots of places to find lacrosse. Then tomorrow will probably be a full college schedule, which we also like. Syracuse is good again. You're into that, I know.
Good for them.
Canisius, Spana.
Basketball program's in real trouble, so it's a good thing lacrosse is picking it up.
Yeah. All right, love the sport. Thanks again, Dave. 803-0550. We continue. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. Unfortunate news earlier today. Matt Waldman hyping Jalen Milroe.
Yeah! Let's go. Ball placement, athleticism, beating corners to the edge. Oh, I watched it all, baby.
You know who he compared him to in one tweet? Dalvin Cook. Dalvin Cook as a runner.
Okay, all
like,
right.
Some about his angles as he runs at 21 miles an hour. Well, we have a bet. Really? We have a bet whether Milroe will go in the top 16, which I don't know anything, but my bet is no.
Yeah, I don't really know anything either. But he, and I thought this would happen, when was Malik Willis in the draft? I thought this was going to happen with Malik Willis a couple years ago.
The Pickett year.
Yeah, and it didn't. He lasted until like the third round or something. So, you know, hit and miss. But I just feel like Milroe fits the athletic profile of the toolsy guy. You know, he comes along a couple of years after Anthony Richardson. And what did your buddy you do one of the podcasts with that said, like, he's Anthony Richardson, only way worse or something to that effect?
Yeah.
So maybe it's a bad time to be that guy. If that's a comp that people are making, because that hasn't gone very well. I'm going to trust that Jalen Milroe will know whenever he plays football again and wherever it happens not to tap out in the middle of a drive as a team's quarterback, assuming he is some team's quarterback. I hope I'm not assuming too much, but that could be a tough comp if teams are scared off because Richardson has been so slow to catch on here. But Milroe's got there's just a lot. I'm intrigued by the toolbox, and a team can get seduced by the toolbox.
Richardson has made some of the best throws you'll ever see. This long one, I don't know if it was Pierce early this past season, sort of backpedaling to his left and just 60 yards perfect on a line. He's got that. I don't know if this player has that. Maybe he does. Richardson, that's how he got picked, what, fourth? Third or fourth?
Fifth, I thought. But
he has that potential. He barely played. He's also huge. And, you know, as a runner, you saw what happened. He did more of that this year when he played, and he's almost, like, unstoppable. So I still want to be hopeful for him. The team on Milroe, it's not specific to him. I have no idea what this team would think of him. But, like, who needs a quarterback? Tennessee at one, sounds like they're not. Cleveland at two, yes. Giants at three, yes. Raiders at six, yes. Jets at seven, yes. Now, if this guy gets that high, and that's a little bit what Penix and Nix was, you know, you win, handshakes. The team in the middle that I think should be open to a quarterback is Seattle. They pick 18th. Most of those other teams, I doubt the Colts would do it with Richardson. Put a veteran with Richardson again. Not Atlanta with Penix, although maybe they could keep the bit going.
I suppose, yeah.
I doubt Arizona with Murray, although they could be frustrated at this point and feel like they won't win. Cincinnati with Burrow, no. And not Tampa, not Denver, and so on. Seattle. They have other needs. Coach into year two. Maybe they do something else. But I think that kind of makes sense for where Geno Smith is, that they could be a quarterback, sneaky quarterback team.
I really kind of like it if they move up a couple of spots.
As long as they move up.
That'd be really, really great. Boy, if I miss that bet by two spots, I'm going to... But, all right. I feel like I'm live with
sure.
this bet.
You said top 10, and then I said not in round one, and I quickly offered you like that as a compromise.
Right.
You can have the top half.
Right.
So that's what we've got. Not the Bills.
Yeah, top 10, I mean, even if it's only a few picks different, I feel like I would have fished for some odds from you on that.
Do the Rams make sense as a quarterback team?
Sure.
They probably should.
Yeah.
More, at least like Seattle does. Lines are open for your calls. James Cook, the Four Nations face-off. Other things we've been talking about a lot this week. 803-0550. Happy Friday. Happy Valentine's Day. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.